Hello and welcome to the Farming Advice Service podcast. This is the second of two of our alternative format podcasts featuring the audio from our recent succession webinar. If you haven't yet listened to the first podcast in this pair, you might want to listen to that first and come back to this one, as our guest speaker Mark does refer to a few things covered in the previous episode. A link to the full webinar recording and the links to some succession planning resources can be found in the podcast description and on our website, farmingadviceservice.org.uk. We hope you find this podcast interesting and informative. Thanks for listening.
Afternoon, everyone. My name is Mark. I'm a staff member with the Farming Community Network, FCN. I've been with FCN now for 6 years. And prior to that, I spent over three decades working in the agri-services agronomy area. So I haven't been a farmer myself, but I have worked in farming since leaving school. Seems a very long time ago. I've also initiated a succession for my own role twice. I'm actually doing it as we speak within FCN. And obviously, whilst my personal situation is a lot simpler than farm succession, I think some of the thought processes, some of the mindsets, and reflecting on some of the things that Heather has spoken about, I hope might resonate with you over the next few minutes or so. For those who don't know, FCN is a charity and a voluntary organisation. We exist to help improve the health and well-being of people in farming, but also to offer support to anyone who seeks it during a time of difficulty in their lives. The organisation is really based around over 300 volunteers. These are all people who are involved in farming, many farming themselves, they connected with farming in other ways. All obviously have a good understanding of the industry, the challenges that people face. And they give their time either on our helpline, which is open every day, 7 a.m. through to 11 p.m. or indeed in their local area as follow-up to the calls that we get where somebody would like some ongoing support. And then we do a lot of work under the Farmwell heading, which is all about really tagging people to look after their health, look after the health and well-being of the people they live and work with. And we have a website called Farmwell. I'd encourage you to have a look at that. So I'm very much going to come at this from the human aspect of this process, the bit, if you like, before the business stuff. How do we get to a mindset of hopefully positively embracing the future that allows those conversations to happen? But having said I'm going to come at it from a positive aspect, like Heather, I'm going to issue a trigger warning here because I'm actually going to be talking about death. And I realize there may be people on the call who've had recent experience of bereavement. But I think it's also a trigger in the sense of a starting point quite often for thinking about this whole subject. We're all mortal, and coming to terms with that, I believe, helps us consider what we want with the remaining part of our life, what legacy we want to leave. An important part of that, of course, is succession and renewal of the farm business. And to me, the understanding that right at the start is a helpful starting point. And it was brought home to me recently. I attended an HDB workshop that was facilitated by Michael Blanche. And in Michael's very disarming manner, he runs the Pasture Pod, if anyone has listened to his podcast. I'd recommend him to you. But in his very disarming manner, he got us all doing an exercise based on this 1-to-90 grid, asking us to shade in up to our age. And the idea of this really was to focus on the bit that isn't shaded and concentrate our minds on what we want that time to be. And of course, you know, we all view that differently. We might view it negatively, we might view it positively. But for me, it really did sharpen my focus on thinking about that. I was on a table with three other people. One was a 24-year-old. He was pretty cocky about this exercise, as you can imagine. So most of his grid was unshaded. So he went off and got a cup of coffee, very pleased with himself. There were two other gentlemen on the table, both farmers. And I looked at them and I thought, well, I reckon you're older than me. And it turned out they weren't. Either that or they were cheating. I'm sure they weren't. But I was the oldest on the table. And it kind of brings it home to you. Blimey, I suppose I need to think about these things. And I then thought, well, my father died when he was 72. And my mother died when she was 85. I guess I've got to consider that as well. Of course, it may well go beyond 90. I hope it does for all of you. Or indeed, it might be sooner. But Michael challenged us to think really hard about those remaining years, what we wanted it to look like, what we wanted to do, what we needed to do in that time. And if you get a chance to go to one of those HDB workshops, I'd highly recommend it. So what do we want later life to look at? It got me thinking. And our health is our wealth. And Heather mentioned both of these things. Clearly, having some kind of plan for financial aspect of living well in later life is important, but also as far as we can, looking after our health, being a bit more proactive maybe than we have been in earlier life is really important. Staying engaged, staying connected. Many people don't want to stop farming, but they might need to farm in a different way. They might need to find a model for how they're involved that looks different to how it has been for the last 50 years. Perhaps less stress and worry. They might be wanting to create an opportunity for others in the family. They might just want to have a slightly easier day. They might want to be thinking, how do I make the best time of how do I make the best of the time that I have left? What do I want to do with that? How do I keep a purpose in my life, but perhaps just take a step back? And as and when the time comes, how do I make that easier for others? And I've got the yellow wellies there. Who would fill your boots? Thinking about the area of contingency plans that Heather spoke about, I think, is a really important part of this as well. So for me personally, I want to stay connected with farming. I'll be continuing to work with FCM, but I'll be working in a different way. I'll be wanting to do a bit more walking because I enjoy that, a bit more fishing because I enjoy that. I'm not very good at it, rather more in my community. So it got me thinking along those lines. And I'd encourage you to start the process perhaps there. Be really clear what it is that you want, and also what gift that we want to leave behind. I've termed it a gift because I think it's very much a gift. Do we want to leave chaos, worry, conflict in a family, debt, or do we want to leave opportunity? Do we want to be positive in what we leave and create the framework that provides those possibilities? Leave that gratitude, leave order after we're not here anymore. So some of the things that we hear about in FCN probably reflect areas that Heather has spoken about. We get a lot of calls from people who are worried about their parents' health, perhaps from a physical health perspective, mental ill health. They're not able to do what they used to do, and they're concerned. What can they do to help their parents at that stage? Difficult family relations would feature quite regularly in the calls that we receive. Often the burden of expectation of a younger generation who are feeling the pressure maybe of succession, or the expectations of that succession, worried about the future viability of the business. Is it sustainable? Worrying about legal matters, as Heather related to, not having things written down, not having a will, not having a power of attorney. And we receive calls from people who are in that situation, and often due to a sudden incapacity and an accident or an illness, the key worker on that farm isn't able to be there, and others are having to pick up the pieces. It might be a gradual loss of capacity, thinking or worried about aspects of dementia and how you can support people at that stage. It might be that expectations of inheritance didn't materialize. They've been working on the farm for many years, imagining that they would be in the succession plan, they would inherit, and perhaps that hasn't actually materialized. And then later life finances, so ensuring that people have sufficient to live in the way that they want to. I think at FCN, obviously, we tend to hear more about the difficult situations, sometimes due to the direction that life takes, the curveballs, but sometimes due to a lack of planning, good channels of communication. And it's important to remember there's plenty of positive examples as well. On a helpline, we tend to hear the more negative ones. But so often when listening to the heart-rending stories from the calls that we receive, we're left thinking, gosh, if only you'd been able to take some action 5, 10, 15 years ago, if only you'd worked, been able to work on those relationships, if only you'd managed to find a way to keep talking, keep the communication channels open, if only you'd been able to seek some help at that point, if only. So how does FCN try and help in some of these situations? Well, we're not professional advisors. We're not providing a charge for service. We're volunteers. We're people who have some life experience in farming, perhaps have some experience of going through this. We understand the challenges that come with farming, farming families, farming lives. And so we can be a sounding board. We can help people to perhaps think about their options, what they can control, order their thoughts on just being an impartial, supportive friend to think through this, perhaps, before getting to the stage of sitting around the table with lawyers and accountants. We can help people find the right words. Just starting this conversation can be challenging sometimes. We can encourage, we can reassure people, because as Heather intimated, that this is a process, there will be highs and there will be lows. And we can help people to connect with professional help. And again, I'd encourage you to have a look at Farmwell, where there's a wealth of information on there. And I guess for me, one of the big flashing danger lights is farming is, there's never enough time, is there? There's always something that's going on in the farming calendar. And this we'll start tomorrow. Just bear in mind, there's always going to be something else to do. And I think making the commitment, scheduling some time, agreeing that time with others is just so important. So a few thoughts on bits of positive action, starting the conversation, getting started. And as I say, talking over, maybe preparing for those conversations can be really valuable. There's lots of information out there. You're on a webinar today. There's podcasts, there's books, there's workshops going on. There's a lot that you can access out there to help the thinking process on this. I'd encourage people to think about mentoring. There's an organization called Cultivate Success that matches people in farming with mentors. It's not something that is established in our industry particularly well, but actually being able to connect, having somebody to walk alongside you through some of this is really valuable, whether you are the successor or the successee in this equation. And there's also the Succession Alliance. I'd encourage you to have a look at that, which is bringing together people like Heather, who have some professional expertise in this area that you can connect with. And of course, you can call FCN. We can link you up with a volunteer to have some of these conversations, perhaps readying, helping you prepare for that meeting with the professionals. So finally, we're hearing a lot about AI, artificial intelligence at the moment, aren't we? So I thought I would dive into the world of AI, and I asked Copilot for a definition of retirement, and it came up with this: a phase of life where one can freely pursue personal interests, spend quality time with loved ones, contribute positively to the lives of others, and enjoy the fruits of our labor after a dedicated working career. I thought it was rather good, actually. It wasn't a bad description at all. For me, and I hope for you, finding that positive approach to this, I think, can make a huge difference to one's life and our well-being. So I'd say succession starts with an honest self-appraisal of what you want. Retirement doesn't mean retreat. It can mean reinvention. It can mean renewal. Create a positive future that looks right, feels right for you. Very importantly, look after everybody on this journey, everyone around you. You're not alone in this. Whatever your involvement in the succession process is, you're not alone, and there is help available. So thank you very much for listening.